Sutra. If someone is in trouble with the law and on the verge of being executed, if he evokes the strength of Guanyin, the knives will break into pieces. Commentary. If someone is in trouble with the law. If you break the imperial law, there's no politeness about it. You have your head cut off. This happens sometimes by mistake, too. You get arrested and sentenced when you are actually innocent. And so the law has its advantages and disadvantages. People may bear false witness against someone who is innocent. That happens a lot when lawyers get involved. The defendant may clearly be guilty, but if he gets a good lawyer to defend him, he can get off free. On the other hand, the lawyer can also prove someone broke the law, and that person gets executed when, in fact, he is innocent. Where are you ever going to find the truth in this world? You will have to look in the Buddha Dharma. You won't find it in the world. The world is ruled by force, not by reason. The text brings up the hypothetical case of a person who is in difficulty with the law, regardless of whether he is innocent or guilty. And on the verge of being executed. However, if he evokes the strength of Guanyin, the knives will break into pieces. At such a time, if you can remain calm and can remember to recite Guanyin Bodhisattva's name, the knife will just break into pieces. Your neck will become stronger than Vajra. Now, you cannot try out these things as experiments. If you do, you'll end up getting your head chopped off. In order for it to be efficacious, you must have faith. If you have no faith and decide to try it out, it won't work. That's because in trying it out, you show that you have no faith. If you really believed, you wouldn't need to try it out. You should simply bring forth a genuine heart of faith in Guanyin Bodhisattva. Then everything will be efficacious. Don't have doubts. Everyone should cooperate to translate the sutras. We are now starting to translate the sutras, but not on a grand scale. Certainly, that translation was carried out in China. In China, the emperors supported the translation of sutras. It was a national project, and all the monks got together to translate sutras. Dharma Master Kumarajiva had 800 monks helping him translate the sutras. Now, we are just beginning in America. Everyone should make whatever contribution they can to these pioneering efforts. We should forge ahead and put our efforts into this work. Sutra. If someone is imprisoned, shackled, or chained, or if his hands and feet are in stocks, if he evokes the strength of Guanyin, his bonds will open and he will be free. Commentary. If someone is imprisoned, shackled, or chained, or if his hands and feet are in stocks, the character for prison, Chiu, is the image of a person, Ren, inside four walls. Let's say you get put in prison, and then on top of that, you are forced to wear handcuffs and chains, and your head is put in the stocks. Those of you with family should hurry up and wake up. Don't be imprisoned by the three big traps. One's parents are like a Kong around one's neck. Children are like handcuffs, and one's spouse is like the chains on one's legs. Right now, America needs left-home people. If anyone wishes to leave the home life, no matter what they are like, I will approve them. Even if they misbehaved in the past, it will be fine as long as they will behave after they leave home. I want to do whatever I can to create elders in America. If they grow old on their own, they don't lay a good foundation. I want to foster the elders of American Buddhism. In the future, every one of you left-home people has a chance to become an elder or even a patriarch of American Buddhism. If he evokes the strength of Guan Yin, his bonds will open and he will be free. Long ago in China, there was a monk who was captured by one of the Yao tribes. The Yao people have their own language, which is completely different from Chinese, and they were very wild. When they took prisoners, they would kill and eat them. The monk was captured and locked in a cell. They were going to eat him. The monk believed in Guanshuyin Bodhisattva, so even though he knew their intentions, he was not afraid. He just single-mindedly recited Guanshuyin Bodhisattva's name. The monk recited and recited until a tiger showed up and tore the cell apart, and so he was set free. In spite of the danger, he was not harmed. Reciting the name of Guanshuyin Bodhisattva brings so many responses that you could never finish speaking of them. Sutra. If someone is about to be harmed by mantras, spells, or poison, if he evokes the strength of Guan Yin, the harm will all return to the sender. Commentary. If someone is about to be harmed by mantras, spells, or poison. Spells are also mantras. In the section on the 12 types of living beings, the Sharangama Sutra talks about the wasp, which steals caterpillars and transforms them into its own young. It puts the caterpillar in its mud nest and recites a mantra that says, "Be like me, be like me." At the end of that period, the change takes place, and the caterpillar becomes the offspring of the wasp. There are all kinds of mantras. There are evil mantras that can kill people, but there are also efficacious mantras that can help and benefit people. Here, in the sutra text, we are talking about mantras that can harm people. When these mantras are recited, the victim gets all drowsy and befuddled. Suppose a person is about to be harmed by mantras, spells, and poisons. If he evokes the strength of Guan Yin, the harmful poisons and mantras cannot hurt him. Not only that, but the harm will all return to the sender. The poison or mantras will bounce back and harm the person who sent it out in the first place. In China, long ago, there was a very accurate diviner, one who told fortunes with the I Ching, the Book of Changes. The reason he was so effective was that he had a demon helping him out. Every year, the demon had to eat a virgin boy and a virgin girl, which the diviner would offer to him. One year, the young girl who was marked for the sacrifice recited Guanyin Bodhisattva's name in the room in which she was held captive. She was used to reciting Guanyin's name at home, and now she continued to do so. What do you think happened? The demon came for his meal. It looked in through the window and shone light out of its eyes onto the young girl. Suddenly, the girl's mouth emitted light, and she recited Guanyin's name. And she heard a loud noise as something fell down from the ceiling to the floor. Thinking that the demon had come to eat her, she screamed and attracted the attention of a policeman who was walking by. The policeman broke the door down, came into the room, and found a huge python, a mahoraga. It was dead. The diviner was arrested by the police and questioned about locking the girl up. He said he had an immortal helping him to do his divination, and the immortal demanded a young girl and a young boy to eat once a year. That was how he became such an accurate diviner and raked in so much money. They locked the diviner in jail. He told fortunes for others, but he never figured out his own fortune would turn out so bleak. Therefore, harming others is just harming yourself. The line, "The harm will all return to the sender," was changed by the Song Dynasty poet, Su Dongpo. He said, "In Buddhism, they teach compassion. This line doesn't sound very compassionate to me." And so he changed the line to, "For both parties, there will be no trouble. Neither the one who sent out the mantras nor the victim will be harmed." He was wrong, though. Although in Buddhism killing is prohibited and the liberation of life is encouraged, still, evil people must be restrained from harming good people. Therefore, the victim who knows how to recite Guanyin Bodhisattva's name will not be harmed. But if there is no trouble, the attacker will just go on to the next person who may not know how to recite. There are plenty of people who don't know how to recite. So, Su Dongpo's line doesn't work. "The harm will all return to the sender" is correct. It is fitting that the evil person should undergo such a retribution. Sutra. If someone meets with evil rakshasas, poisonous dragons, or ghosts, if he evokes the strength of Guanyin, they will then not dare to harm him. Commentary. If someone meets with evil rakshasas, poisonous dragons, or ghosts. Rakshasas are extremely evil ghosts. They eat people. Some dragons harm people. They hide out in a pond, a river, or a lake, and when you walk by, they spit poisonous vapors which can kill you. They can even suck you right into their stomachs. There are many kinds of ghosts. There are rich ghosts, poor ghosts, and penniless ghosts. Rich ghosts are the leaders of the ghosts. Poor ghosts aren't too well off. Penniless ghosts have nothing at all. "Do ghosts use money?" you ask. Ghosts don't use money, but their bad habits cause them to act like people, and so they look for more money all day long. Basically, they don't need money for anything, but their attachment confuses them. Chinese people burn counterfeit paper money to pacify the ghosts. In the Sharangama Mantra, many different kinds of ghosts are mentioned. Here, we are talking about ghosts in general. When a person runs into evil ghosts, if he evokes the strength of Guan Yin, they will then not dare to harm him. When you recite Guan Yin's name, there is light. Since ghosts are afraid of light, they won't be able to see you or harm you in any way. Sutra. If someone is surrounded by vicious beasts with fearsome fangs and claws, if he evokes the strength of Guan Yin, the beasts will quickly run far away. Commentary. If someone is surrounded by vicious beasts. Vicious beasts refers to wolves, panthers, tigers, bears, and all kinds of animals who eat people. There are no tigers in the mountains in America, but in China and India, there are many tigers. Tigers will eat anything. When I was a child, I used to roam in the mountains for 5 or 6 days at a time, and I ran into all of these beasts. I don't know why, but they never ate me. If a person runs into evil beasts with fearsome fangs and claws, if he evokes the strength of Guan Yin, the beasts will quickly run far away. Because of the magical response obtained through Guan Yin Bodhisattva's intervention, the beasts will be afraid and run far, far away when they see you. Sutra. Poisonous snakes and scorpions have blazing lethal vapors. But if one evokes the strength of Guan Yin, at the sound of one's voice, they will disperse. Commentary. Poisonous snakes and scorpions have blazing lethal vapors. The sting of certain scorpions can prove fatal. Some kinds of lizards, such as a certain species found in Thailand, also emit toxic vapors. But if one evokes the strength of Guan Yin, at the sound of one's voice, they will disperse. When the lethal creatures hear you recite the name of Guan Yin Bodhisattva, they will run off, hide away, and make no further mischief. Sutra. Clouds of roaring thunder and lightning may send down hail or great floods of rain, but if one evokes the strength of Guan Yin, the clouds will immediately scatter. Commentary. Clouds of roaring thunder and lightning may send down hail or great floods of rain. Sometimes hailstones can weigh several dozen pounds. They can be so heavy that they can kill a cow, to say nothing of a person. But if one evokes the strength of Guan Yin, the clouds will immediately scatter. You don't have to recite for very long, and the hailstones and storms will disperse. Sutra. Living beings are beset with hardships and oppressed by limitless sufferings. The power of Guanyin's wondrous wisdom can rescue the world from suffering. Commentary. Living beings are beset with hardships. Living beings are born because of a multitude of conditions. There are millions of different kinds of living beings. In Chinese, the word for living being contains the word zhong, which is the character for four, si, with three people, ren, underneath it. It means multitude. Among living beings, humans are the most problematical. People have to wear clothes, eat, and go to work. It's a lot of trouble. However, human beings are also the wisest among living beings. Animals and other living beings don't have as many problems, but they are also stupid. Since they're stupid, they get pushed around by people. And so in China, there's a saying, among the myriad creatures, people are the most magical. People are the most intelligent of all creatures. Although we say they are the most intelligent, they sometimes do stupid things. How is that? They like to give themselves trouble. They fight with themselves. How do they do this? Hardships arise. It is said, under heaven, there's nothing happening. Stupid people just like to stir things up. Stupid people make trouble for themselves. Now, the text says that living beings are beset by hardships and oppressed by limitless sufferings. They create trouble for themselves, and so they undergo limitless forms of suffering. If people don't have food to eat, clothes to wear, or a place to live, they suffer. With so many conditions to their happiness, they are forced to toil all day long to get food to eat. They may even steal from each other to preserve their own lives. They do this because they are tormented by suffering. The power of Guanyin's wondrous wisdom can rescue the world from suffering. Therefore, no matter what is bothering you, you shouldn't worry. Just recite the name of Guanyin Bodhisattva. Then, gradually, the problem will resolve itself. Guanyin Bodhisattva's wisdom is subtle, wonderful, and inconceivable. All you need is a sincere heart, and the Bodhisattva will help you. Sutra. Complete with the power of spiritual penetrations, vastly cultivating wisdom and expedient means, going throughout countries in the 10 directions, he manifests everywhere in all places. Commentary. Complete with the power of spiritual penetrations. What is meant by the power of spiritual penetrations? There are six types of spiritual penetrations. 1. The penetration of the heavenly eye. With the heavenly eye, you can see at a glance what the gods of the heaven of the 33 are doing. 2. The penetration of the heavenly ear. With the heavenly ear, You can hear all the sounds throughout the 10 directions in the heavens and below. 3. The penetration of others' thoughts. You can know what other people are thinking. 4. The penetration of past lives. You can know the causes and effects involved in former lives. You can know what kinds of beings people were in their former lives. 5. The penetration of the perfected spirit, also called the penetration of the complete spirit. With this penetration, you can fly and transform at will. 6. The penetration of the extinction of outflows. This is the hardest one to obtain. The ghosts and spirits have the above-mentioned 5 penetrations, but they don't possess the penetration of the extinction of outflows. Guanxuyin Bodhisattva has all 6 of them. Vastly cultivating wisdom and expedient means. Vastly means that the bodhisattvas didn't cultivate just one dharma door, but that they cultivated all manner of dharma doors. For example, right now not only do we study the sutras, we also learn Chinese and study the Sharangaba Mantra and the Great Compassion Mantra. On top of that, we also want to learn the Great Compassion Repentance. Why? It's all a part of vastly cultivating wisdom and expedient means. Going throughout countries in the 10 directions, he manifests everywhere in all places. There's not a single place where Guanyin Bodhisattva doesn't go. He has been everywhere. All of us living beings have affinities with Guanyin Bodhisattva. Anyone who recites Guanyin Bodhisattva's name will receive the Bodhisattva's protection. But if you don't recite, Guanyin Bodhisattva won't pay any attention to you. Why not? Because you don't even care to get acquainted, and you don't even know or recollect the Bodhisattva's name. If you want to be friends with Guanxuyin Bodhisattva, all you have to do is keep reciting, Namo Guanxuyin Bodhisattva. When he hears you reciting, he will think, Aha! I have made a new friend. Good! I will help my new friend. If you don't recite, the Bodhisattva will say, He doesn't want to be friends. I'm not going to pay any attention to his affairs. Someone wants to know how to obtain the penetration of the heavenly eye. There are many methods. First of all, you can single-mindedly recite the Sharangama Mantra. You can also study the Great Compassion Mantra and the 42 Hands. You can also give up sleeping to study the Buddha Dharma. But trying to get the heavenly eye by giving up sleeping is very dangerous, and I hope that people won't use that method. Why not? You probably remember the story about the Buddha's disciple, Aniruddha, who used to sleep through the Buddha's lectures. The Buddha scolded him, saying, Hey! How dare you sleep like an oyster or a clam? Sleep for 1,000 years and you'll never hear the Buddha's name. After the Buddha scolded him, he became very vigorous and refused to sleep for 7 days. As a result, he went blind. The Buddha taught him the Vajra illuminating bright samadhi, and Aniruddha opened his heavenly eye. He was foremost of the Buddha's disciples in having the heavenly eye. Aniruddha means not poor. Limitless eons and countless lifetimes ago, Aniruddha was a poor farmer. He had to toil and sweat, and still he had no money. At that time, he was a beginner in the Buddha Dharma. Even though he was not a disciple of the Buddha, he did understand the principle of giving. One day, while the farmer was working, a cultivator happened by. This bhikshu had been certified to the fruit and was a Pratyeka Buddha, but the farmer didn't know that at the time. The old bhikshu was returning from his begging rounds. It was his practice to beg from only 7 houses. Then, if he hadn't obtained any food, he would return to the mountain for another 7 days before going out to beg again. At that particular time, he was returning with an empty bowl. When the farmer saw the poor monk, he decided to offer up his lunch to him. He had no idea that the old bhikshu was a Pratyeka Buddha. Now, the Pratyeka Buddha had the penetration of others' thoughts, so when he looked into the causes and conditions, he saw that this lunch, consisting of the poorest quality rice, constituted a most sincere offering. He praised the farmer and said, "So it is. So it is. Your offering is made with a true heart." The Pratyeka Buddha then returned to his mountain. Later on, a rabbit hopped along and jumped on the farmer's back. The farmer ran home, but try as he might, he couldn't shake the rabbit off. Then he noticed it was made of gold. He broke off one of the golden rabbit's legs and exchanged it for money. The leg grew right back. After that, he had money in every life. Why? Because he made offerings with a true heart to a Pratyeka Buddha, a sage who had been certified to the fruit. That was his reward. In every life he was not poor. In the sutra in 42 sections, the Buddha said, "Giving food to 100 bad people does not equal giving food to a single good person. Giving food to 1,000 good people does not equal giving food to one person who holds the 5 precepts. Giving food to 10,000 people who hold the 5 precepts does not equal giving food to a single Shrotapanna. Giving food to 1,000,000 Shrotapannas does not equal giving food to a single Sakradagaman. Giving food to 10,000,000 Sakradagamans does not equal giving food to a single Anagaman. Giving food to 100,000,000 Anagamans does not equal giving food to a single arhat. Giving food to 1,000,000,000 arhats does not equal giving food to a single Pratyeka Buddha. Giving food to 10,000,000,000 Pratyeka Buddhas does not equal giving food to a Buddha of the 3 periods of time. Giving food to 100,000,000,000 Buddhas of the 3 periods of time does not equal giving food to a single one who is without thoughts, without dwelling, without cultivation, and without accomplishment. Because Aniruddha made offerings to a Pratika Buddha with a true heart, as a good retribution in every life, he was extremely wealthy. If he wasn't a prince, then he was a wealthy and respected individual. And so, if you want to be not poor, you too should make offerings to the Triple Jewel. Then, in the future, you'll have a chance to be wealthy. It is said, it is difficult to give when one is poor. The reason Aniruddha was so wealthy is that he was able to give when he was poor. He gave his own lunch to the Triple Jewel. With that single true thought, he gained the reward of wealth. It is also said, it is difficult to study the way when one has wealth and a noble status. It's hard to convince a rich person to study the way. The doctrines in the sutra in 42 sections are extremely important. Everyone should take note of them. Sutra. The various evil destinies, those of the hells, ghosts and animals, and the pain of birth, old age, sickness and death, are all gradually wiped away. Commentary. The various evil destinies. Various means that there are a lot of them, not just one. In general, there are four evil destinies. What are they? They are the Asuras, the hell beings, the ghosts, and the animals. Asuras have been explained previously. They like to fight. What are the hell beings? How are the hells created? The hells are a creation of people's karmic obstacles. According to the type of evil karma one creates, one will fall into the corresponding type of hell. There are many types of hells. They are explained in detail in the Earth Store Sutra, which says there are 18 major hells and 500 lesser ones. There are many hells. Now, are the hells made in advance like the prisons in this world? No. The hells manifest through the evil karma of each person. If you create evil karma by killing people, you will fall into the hell for killers. The same applies to other evil acts, such as setting fires. The type of hell depends on the type of karma. It's not fixed. When the karma is exhausted, the hell is then empty. Before it's ended, the hell is still there. In Manchuria, there was a man named Mr. Pigfoot Liu. His family name was Liu, and he had a hoof instead of a foot. He was able to remember the events of his past three lives. In one life, he was born into a very wealthy family. When he was born, his father was in his 40s. When the child Pigfoot Liu was 13, he was married to a wife who was 2 years his senior. Although the father was then in his 50s, his lust was still going strong, so he took a young wife who was about the same age as the son's wife. A couple of years later, Pigfoot Liu had a son, The son was married when he was about 13, and the wife was also a couple of years older than her husband. At that time, Pigfoot Leo didn't believe in Buddhism. His parents had both died, and only his father's young wife was left. Pigfoot Leo thought she was very beautiful, and he appropriated her for himself. Then, Pigfoot Leo's son died, and attracted to his son's wife, he took her too. So he was carrying on an affair both with his stepmother and his daughter-in-law. He was in his mid-20s at the time. When Pigfoot Leo was in his 40s, he woke up. "I have certainly amassed some terrible karma in this life," he thought. "I took my stepmother and my daughter-in-law as wives." He started believing in Buddhism and took up the recitation of the Vajra Sutra, the Diamond Sutra. In his late 40s, after reciting the sutra for 10 years, he died and went to meet King Yama, the cruel, black-faced lord of the dead. "Since you created so much evil karma," King Yama said, "I'm going to put you in the hell of boiling oil where you'll be fried." He charged two ghosts with the task of taking him off to the oil pot, but there was someone standing by who said, "You can't do that." "Why not?" asked King Yama. "Because he has recited the Vajra Sutra and he has still got it in his belly. He should first be reborn until he uses up all the Vajra Sutra, and then you can French fry him." So he went to be reborn as a person, this time in a very poor household. His mother and father sold snacks for a living, and from a very early age he was fond of eating. He ate so much that soon he had a very big belly. When he was 5 years old, he died from a bloated stomach. After he died, his parents were curious to see what was in his big belly, so they cut him open. There they found a substance as solid as diamond. At that point, the ghosts standing by said, "Oh, it's time now. We can take him to the oil pot and fry him." The ghost then took him to King Yama, who pronounced that he could be reborn as a pig. As a pig, he was fed until he was plump, and then slaughtered and eaten. When he got back to King Yama again, King Yama was ready to send him through the frying punishment, but the offender spoke up and said, "You don't have to fry me. Let me go back as a person, but give me one pig foot as proof. I will urge people in the world not to commit offenses." King Yama thought that was a good idea, and so that was what happened. His surname was Leo, and because of his hoof, most people called him Mr. Pigfoot Leo. I met the man personally and talked to him for a long time, so I am very clear about his circumstances. This is how the evil destinies get created. People create their own hells. Hells are very dangerous. In Harbin, where I am from, there was a Dharma master named Cheng Yi, who was once so sick that he thought he had died. After he died, he went down a road to a place not too far away from his temple and was reborn there. What was he reborn as? As a pig. When he saw that he himself was a pig, he refused to suckle, and then he died of starvation. At that point, his spirit re-entered the body of Dharma Master Cheng Yi. He then woke up and told people around him about what he had just experienced. "I have recovered from my illness. I was just reborn as a pig. Let me take you to the spot and we'll have a look. There are 7 piglets in the litter. I was reborn as one of them. I was the one who refused to take milk and starved. Several Dharma masters accompanied him to the spot, and sure enough, they found a litter of 7 piglets, and one was dead. I also met that Dharma master. It's not at all easy to be reborn as a person. A human body is very difficult to obtain. The Buddha Dharma is not easy to get to here. You figure it out. Of all the millions of people in America, how many come on any given night to listen to the sutra lectures? Very, very few. It's difficult to meet a good and wise advisor who really understands the Buddha Dharma. Some who claim to be teachers are not clear about principles, so they say things to you that are unclear. Those of the hells, ghosts, and animals. The destiny of hungry ghosts is also a result of karmic power. Hungry ghosts have bellies as big as drums and throats as thin as needles. The things we eat turn into fire when they enter the mouths of hungry ghosts. This happens because their karmic obstacles are so heavy. For instance, the gods see water as crystal. People see it as water. Fish see it as their abode. And ghosts see it as fire. This shows the power of karma. It influences what one experiences. Beings see the same thing in different ways. It's also very easy to get reborn as an animal, such as a pig, a chicken, or a horse. These kinds of animals were formerly people. What kind of people? People who weren't filial to their parents and who didn't respect their teachers and elders. People like that get caught up in the animal kingdom. People who are fond of eating meat also create ties with the creatures whose flesh they consume. By eating a certain kind of flesh, they establish a close connection with that animal, and the future is then very dangerous for them. The various evil destinies, then, include the 4 evil destinies of hells, hungry ghosts, animals, and asuras. And the pain of birth, old age, sickness, and death. In human life, there are 3 sufferings. 1. The suffering within suffering. 2. The suffering of decay. 3. The suffering of process. An example of suffering within suffering is to be penniless and also without any food to eat or any place to live. This suffering is experienced by poor people. Lacking the very necessities of life, they cannot even find work. This kind of suffering is not easy to bear. But wealthy people suffer even more. They experience the suffering of decay. Having money, they have to continuously calculate about it. I'll put this much into the bank. I'll take this much out and put it into a business venture. I'll take that much, and on it goes like that all day long. They keep on counting their money until their hair turns white, their teeth fall out, and their eyes stop working, and their ears go deaf. But then, trouble comes. The robbers get their number. They break in at night and pick the safe clean. People in poverty get accustomed to their suffering, but when the suffering of decay hits wealthy people, they can't take it. It's very bitter. Well, then, if you're neither rich nor poor, there's no suffering, right? There's still suffering. The suffering of process. Everyone goes through the process of aging. From youth, people pass into middle age and then become old. Once they're old, they die. This process never stops. It continues with every passing thought. This is the suffering of process. Then there are the eight sufferings. And even the eight sufferings aren't very many because suffering doesn't stop with eight kinds. There are thousands upon millions of kinds of sufferings. You could never count how many there are. Well, what's the greatest suffering? Being a person. It's much more pleasant to be an animal than to be a person. So what can you be that isn't suffering? Well, being a Buddha isn't suffering. Why do I say that it's more pleasant to be an animal than a person? Because animals don't have to worry about clothes to wear, food to eat, or a place to live. Their lives happen very naturally, so they never worry about anything. But when one is a person, there's just too much suffering. Now, we're talking about the eight sufferings. They are 1. The suffering of birth. 2. The suffering of old age. 3. The suffering of sickness. 4. The suffering of death. 5. The suffering of being apart from those you love. 6. The suffering of being together with those you hate. 7. The suffering of not getting what you seek. 8. The suffering of the raging blaze of the 5 skandhas. And among these 8, which one is the worst? I believe the worst is the suffering of birth, because if you weren't born, then the others couldn't happen. And you say, well, what's so much suffering about being born anyway? I know you've forgotten, so I'm going to remind you. How is it that you got born? Birth comes from the union of the father's essence and the mother's blood, and there also has to be what is called the intermediate skanda body, which enters the womb. Once you're in the womb, the first few weeks are simply the development of a jelly-like substance. But after the 7th week, feeling arises. And once the fetus develops a sense of feeling, then if the mother drinks something cold, it feels like it's standing on a mountain of ice, extremely uncomfortable. If the mother drinks something hot, then it's just as if the fetus is plunged into hot water and scalded. So, even in the womb, one experiences the two unpleasant sensations of cold and heat. If the mother stoops over, then the embryo feels as though it's being crushed by Mount Tai. But the birth is the worst experience. It's like two mountains crashing together, like the hell of crashing mountains. And so, of course, the first thing a child does after being born is scream. Kua, kua. The Chinese character ku means suffering. And it sounds the same as another word ku that means cry. And so it is said that human birth feels the same as when a live tortoise has its shell ripped off. It's that painful. But as you grow up, you forget the suffering of birth. You pass through your prime and get old without even realizing it. There is also tremendous suffering connected with old age. For instance, your hearing goes bad. You don't even know if people are scolding you. And your eyesight goes dim, so you can't see things clearly anymore. The teeth fall out. The tongue doesn't, but the teeth do. You never heard of anyone losing his tongue, and the reason for that is that the tongue is yielding and supple. One time I asked an old fellow about this. I said, "Teeth fall out when you get old, but have you ever met anyone who lost his tongue?" He said, "Never. Have you?" And I said, "Look, I'm a lot younger than you. You're almost 90. And since you haven't ever seen it, how would you expect me to have ever seen it?" Then I asked him, "Do you know why your tongue doesn't fall out, but your teeth do?" "It's because the teeth are too rigid, so they fall out. But the tongue is supple and yielding, so it doesn't fall out." And he said, "Oh." And I said, "You're awfully old now. You'd better be careful not to be too rigid. Take this lesson from your teeth." Then you say, "What's so bad about having the teeth fall out?" "Well, you lose your appetite. Nothing tastes good anymore. Something may look and smell good, but when you put it in your mouth and gum it around, you can't even chew it up. You end up swallowing it whole, which makes it very hard to digest. So, do you think that's suffering or not? And also, your face gets all wrinkled. It's said that people come to have skin like a chicken and hair like a crane. If you've ever seen a plucked chicken, you can see that its skin is all bumpy and wrinkled. And hair like a crane means that your hair turns totally white. But of course, that doesn't apply to Westerners because when infants are first born in the West, they're tow-headed. They have flaxen hair at birth. They don't even wait until they get old to have white hair. Another point of interest is that although Westerners may be born with flaxen hair, their hair doesn't turn black, and yet black hair can turn white. But then again, sometimes it does happen. For instance, when I was in Hong Kong, my hair turned totally white. Why? Because I was overseeing the construction of a temple. I erected 3 temples in Hong Kong, and it was such a strain on my body and mind that my hair turned totally white. Then I took a look and thought, "Oh, this is really something. I'd better not tax my mind so much." Then I just put everything down, and my hair turned black again. From this, you can see that nothing is fixed. If you don't believe that old age entails suffering, wait till you're 80 or 90 and nothing you eat tastes good anymore. Then you'll remember, "When I was younger, I didn't believe that Dharma Master when he talked about the suffering of old age. Now I know that it's really true." But by then it will be too late to start cultivating the way. There are many kinds of sicknesses. You might get a headache, or your feet hurt, or sometimes your whole body aches. In general, if your heart, liver, kidneys, spleen, or lungs are ailing, it's a lot of suffering. Another truly terrible suffering is death. In fact, it's the worst. It's easy to die, but once you're dead, the important question is where you'll go. After you die, will you go to the hells? Will you become an animal? Will you be reborn as a person? No one can give you any insurance. And so that's birth, old age, sickness, and death. They're all suffering. Why was it that Shakyamuni Buddha left home? It was because he came to realize that birth, old age, sickness, and death are not easy to endure. When Prince Siddhartha was 19 years old, he wanted to see the sights outside the palace. So one day he went to the city's east gate. There he saw a woman in the process of delivering a baby. The prince asked his attendant, "What's happening?" He replied, "She is giving birth to a child." Looking at the woman who seemed to be enduring an extremely painful event, and the newborn child crying loudly, the prince returned home unhappily. The next day, the prince went to the city's southern gate. There he saw a very old man. His hair was totally white, and his eyes were dim. His back was hunched, and his legs were too weak to walk. The prince asked in surprise, "What's wrong with that man? Why has he become that way?" His attendant answered, "This man is already old. He has too many years. That's why he is that way." Upon hearing this, the prince became upset and quickly returned to his palace. On the third day, the prince went to the city's west gate. There he saw a sick person. Saddened, the prince returned to the palace. On the fourth day, the prince went to the city's north gate. There lay a dead person. "What's the matter with that person?" asked the prince. The attendant said, "This man already died." The prince again felt extremely depressed. The prince had witnessed the suffering of birth, old age, sickness, and death for himself, and he realized this was the process that human beings have to pass through. He felt very sad and wanted to go back to the palace. Right at that moment, a left-home person appeared. The prince asked his attendant, "Who is this person? What's he doing?" His attendant then went to talk to the cultivator. The cultivator said, "I'm a left-home person. I investigate and study the Buddha way in order to be liberated from the suffering of birth, old age, sickness, and death." At that time, the prince hadn't become a Buddha, but when he heard that by cultivating the way he could avoid birth, old age, sickness, and death, he said, "Can I cultivate in the same way you do?" The monk replied, "Anybody can." Then the prince returned to the palace and, accompanied by one who was later known as Venerable Upali, he ran away. Shakyamuni Buddha was totally disillusioned by birth, old age, sickness, and death. He didn't know where he had come from at birth or where he would go when he died. And so he left the home life and practiced the way with the intent to end birth and death. He went into the mountains and cultivated for 6 years, trying to avoid birth, old age, sickness, and death. Nobody who gets born can avoid dying. Some deaths are good and some are terrible. Some people die from sickness. Some people starve to death. Some people die from the fatigue of toil. Some people die from quarreling. They have a fight and kill each other. Then there's war, and people die on the battlefield. Others die in automobile accidents or get crushed in an avalanche. There are many different kinds of deaths. Some people die from accidental poisoning. Some people commit suicide by taking poison or in other ways. Some people have no wish to die, but they do. Some wish to die, but they can't. Just death alone contains a myriad distinctions. As there are different kinds of deaths, so are there different retributions or rewards that follow death. How do they differ? For instance, if someone dies by accident, as in an automobile accident, or by drowning, or by being burned in a fire, he then turns into a ghost or a spirit, but he doesn't go before King Yama, because King Yama pays no attention to him. The other ghosts don't pay any attention to this kind of spirit either. You say, in that case, they're really free. But they're just free ghosts, not free people. Of course, if people are free, often they just take advantage of situations and don't follow the rules. The same thing happens with a ghost who is free. He tends not to follow the rules. People who die in this way may try to catch some other people to turn into ghosts to take their place. That's why oftentimes when there's an accident in a certain place, within 3 years after it, there will be another one. The reason is that the ghost that died by accident is just waiting for the opportunity to catch someone else to replace him, because he won't get a chance at rebirth until he can get someone to take his place. If he doesn't get another ghost to represent him, then he just remains there forever, ignored. That's another kind of death. If you kill yourself, say for instance by taking poison, you go to the hells, and the punishments are terrible. If, for example, you took poison to die, then you'll go to the hell where you have to drink molten iron. You burn up all your insides, your stomach, your intestines, and then you die. But then a clever wind blows and revives you and brings you back to life. Then you have to drink the molten iron again, and then you die again from the burns, and then the wind blows and you come back to life again. This process goes on unceasingly all day. It's unbearable. But if you can recite the name of Guanyin Bodhisattva, the text says the various kinds of sufferings are all gradually wiped away. Guanyin Bodhisattva can gradually eliminate and eradicate the sufferings of birth, old age, sickness, and death. We have already discussed 4 of the sufferings. Next, we'll talk about the suffering of being apart from those we love.